My favorite guy right now is the Charlie Popping guy. Charlie Popping. Inside Poppy. That, your Avian song. Another Avian day inside.
Dubai is a wonderful city. Dubai has made us. Dubai is home for us.
Correct.
This is the home we call home. Like,
home away from home.
Home away from home.
Correct.
This is a very common thing that happens. It happens every day. Every day in the club business, it's very common.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Dubai Diasteries. My name is Yvette Kikuyu, your self-proclaimed storyteller in the UAE, here to give you thought-provoking content that educates you, empowers you, and entertains you to believe that all our dreams are valid. Today in studio, I'm here with my guy. You know when that guy sang, "Who's your guy?" He's the first person that comes to my mind because for me, this is one friendship that just happened. And frankly speaking, it's been nothing short of beautiful. let me draw for you a picture, but I would rather that he engages in that conversation. But in a nutshell, if I was to describe the friendship that I have with the gentleman I'm about to introduce, is that we have range. We have equal measure of saint and sinning. Like, he's the one guy when I'm just going through a bad day, I would just call him. I'm like, I want to cry. He's like, what happened, Amaka? What is it? And he's like, oh yeah, cry now. And then after we finish crying, he would say, okay, let's pray. And then we will pray. And then after we pray, he say, oh yeah, you're coming out tonight, Abby. We are going to club. I just love the range and the broadness of this friendship. And I couldn't have had anybody else better to join me on this episode than the one, the only, my paddy of life, Marcus in the building!
Roll the drum!
My ogad, it's up. How are you? I'm loving the jersey. It's giving. It's giving Federation goodness.
What do you expect?
Uh-huh.
Proper Niger boy.
Correct. So
the
Niger
fact that
boy.
I had to show up, I was like, I had to show up proper. So, mm-hmm. So, like you said, we don't know how the friendship started, but thankfully, mm-hmm. so far, it's been an amazing one. And like you said, you call me. Don't just say you call me. I know the time that I call you as well to be able to share some things, and you encourage me as well. So, like you said, honestly, I don't know how it started. I don't know how we got here. But
I know how it started. Can I remind you? And this is going to be a beautiful story because thanks to Fola, I actually owe Fola. If you guys remember Fola of FMG in episode 2, she's the reason why me and Marcus met. So we went for her birthday. I won't reveal her age. And after that, I was like, Fola, the ginger is too much. You have to go to the club. He said, wait a minute. I know somebody who can hook us up last minute. Now called Marcus. Marcus even came and received us from the elevator. We got first class treatment inside to the table and everything. So, of course, I hadn't met him before. And you know me, before, like on a clubbing table, you know when you're pulling those Recross vibes, you're now looking at the people at the bar standing here at a table. You're like, sorry, peasants, I cannot relate. So I was a bit shy to interact because Marcus was on our table. And then something happened. Hey! So from where we were sitting, let me give you gist, my people. From where we were sitting, there was this fine babe, light skin, beautiful looking woman. She now walked towards the bathroom. Of course, I looked and I said, she's cute. I like the way she's dressed up. Walked normally like an elegant lady. When she now came from the bathroom, they were now doing Dorime. And she now saw that the bottles were going on a particular table that was just adjacent to us. My friend, the way the walking style changed.
Light effects.
I now just looked at my brother. We had not even talked the whole time. I just said, shoo. He just looked at me and said, you never see anything. And that's just how we burst out laughing. And that was the beginning of a beautiful friendship. Like, I can't think of a better friendship way to start a friendship with such realness.
You know, I'll remind you one interesting part. When you were leaving, I think you were leaving and you're like, I've never been to this part this night before. Mm. I've been to Skyline, but not this day.
Not this day.
And then you said, I'll come back again.
Uh-huh.
And I think that was when you're leaving. I was like, okay, probably we have one new soldier.
Yes.
One member to the family. And I think
Mona is more like ambassador because there's no way anybody can come to this Dubai and they say, we want to hang out and I'll not drag them there. No, and every time I now see them after on their own and they've gone without me, I say, when you show Monkey Road, they will remove you from the equation. But I'm like, at the end of the day, that's more grease to my guys. No, all right.
One of the things I've come to love about the club is Sky Lounge has been home. Mm. Like me and my partner will always say something like, no place like home. Mm. So no matter how we do, we'll be like, you know what? Let's go home. Mm. So, and one of the reception I feel like we've given out to people is whenever we have people come to Sky Lounge, we want to make you feel like you're at home. We don't want you to feel like there's something you're missing out there. And we want you to come back again with that remark like, okay, I had a good time. Mm-hmm. And these people treated me nicely. Mm-hmm. And most importantly, we don't try to make this classism or something. I don't know what to call it.
Say it like it is, my
so brother. We don't try to make it look like, oh, you are so important and you are this special.
Correct.
No, we just treat you based on the fact that what can you do?
You're here for vibes.
Vibes, exactly.
And we will provide.
That is the essence of the night. The essence of the night is come have fun, catch your vibe, and then go home. Mm. And then we look forward to seeing you next week again because it has to keep going.
It has to keep going.
No, definitely. I'm happy to be here too. I'm happy to have been able to meet you along. You can imagine being in the club business. Mm. We tend to get carried away by the whole thing. Like, okay, I want to sit in, I want to like this. But at the same time, you can imagine in the midst of all of this, I was able to
carve time.
To carve time, meet a friend like you as well.
Correct.
So even in the midst of all of this, we still try to make this tiny times where we see people.
Because there's Marcus of Sky Lounge and there's also Marcus, the real Marcus. And you need to feed both aspects of your life. One cannot exist without the other.
Of course.
So obviously, me and Marcus, we can't gist for life. As you people have seen, we've even forgotten why we're here. Hey, this is called Dubai Diaspora. And the first question that I like to ask most of my guests is like, what's your Dubai story? How did you end up in this beautiful sand pit that we now call home?
That was a good question, actually. But funny enough, my Dubai story started from Fujairah. Back in 2011. My story started from Fujairah, actually. So some people don't really know me. Some people just see me on social media and they think, oh, that club guy.
Mm.
So the story
started. Thank you for giving us an exclusive.
Okay, so anyways, this is like you said, since we're here, let's spill the tea a bit. So some people get to know a bit of the other side. Mm-hmm. So like I said, the story started from Fujairah. A lot of people don't know this about me. I went to a flying school. Started off as a pilot. I can bet 90% of people don't know that.
Absolutely.
So then switched after some time, went to aircraft engineering and all of that. So that's how it started.
So it's not only popping bottles, he has a popping brain as well. You think to do flying school na beans, excuse me, put some respect on his name.
I beg go.
Yeah, so please. The bride price just went higher now. If you know. It's not a small something. Okay.
No, so that's how it started. And time went by after school. Just kept pushing until the Dubai story started.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine we're here today. Like I said, it started from 2011, from Fujairah.
Okay.
Then that transition into me moving to Sharjah, from Sharjah, and then in Dubai.
So you're literally just coming emirate after emirate.
Exactly.
I hope the next one is Skylounge Part 2 in Abu Dhabi so that we can also be driving and doing staycation.
No, I'll tell you the truth. Actually, if we have the chance, we'll have Skylounge UAE in general. Let everybody get to enjoy. We don't want only Dubai people to enjoy. Let's spread it across. Let people in Abu Dhabi, Sharjah, maybe it's not going to.
Maybe not.
But
you know, things are changing. You can never say never. No. I mean, it's recently I saw Tiwa Savage performing in Saudi Arabia and I say, shoo.
And interestingly, like you just said, we know how it was years back. Some of us that have been here long enough.
I see these kids coming and enjoying the glory of night now. And I'm like, do you remember the days when we had to go to a club? Like it could be any other concept club. And there was only two Afrobeat songs that they would play.
You see two.
And then do me, no, P-square. That's it.
Like I said, even you get that to that means that day you'll be like,
I feel like I'm home now.
Because there's a chance you go some days and you don't even hear it at all.
Correct.
And that's why there are some guys I'll have to pay respect to. There are some guys who've been pushing the Afrobeat movement from way back. We have people like Larry Typical. They've been doing this whole thing for long. I can never forget to mention DJ Tribe. DJ Tribe has been
my Scorpion legend.
Been one of the guys that they play Afrobeat regardless.
Correct.
They don't care the crowd. No. They'll tell you it's Afrobeat I'm gonna play. Period. Either you're in, you're out. And that was a standard. And that takes us back to the old days of Keezer, where we knew how things were. You wanted to listen to this kind of music, you needed to go to Keezer and all of that.
That's it.
So you can imagine how far we've come.
The evolution.
And look at how people are dancing to Afrobeat today.
It's
and I'm
crazy.
Like,
I'm you like, know, sometimes when I'm sitting in Sky Lounge, I just look at the crowd. And it's more beautiful when you see us African babes, we are there forming Princess of Arabia, sitting down, sipping from our flutes of champagne. And you see all these Arab and white ladies dancing to Afrobeat. And I'm like,
No.
The revolution has been televised.
No, the game has really changed. For some of us that had, like, for me, I would say I witnessed it change life. Like, this is something, because being in the club scene, like I mentioned Larry Typical, these are guys that have been just going behind, going after time after time. They give you access to clubs. Days we go to Sensation.
Correct.
You're going to Sensation. The Hub. You're going. So people like Typical, they were the ones opening the door, like, hey, let that guy come in.
Correct.
So imagine you've had access to the club even when you didn't have the money to spend to ball. So and then
speak on it.
Exactly. And then you have people who be like, come in. Tribe would like, oh, tell them my name at the door.
Period.
Come in.
Drop that name
in. So you can imagine that place where all of these things were all coming together. And now here we are, Afrobeat is mainstream. You go to, like, sometimes in the club, I have people who are calling to make a booking. And trust me, they are not Africans. But get the first question they ask is like, are you guys playing Afrobeat tonight?
Oh my goodness.
And I'm like, of course,
yes.
That's what we do.
That's the vibe of this home.
That's the movement. So I at this point, I'm really, really, really amazed at the, like.
And it's so funny, like, how it's also trickled down into social media, because I was just reading one report the other day, and they said out of every 10 songs in 2020, out of every 10 songs used as an audio on TikTok, 3 were Afrobeat. Now, do you want to guess how many out of 10?
How many? Tell me.
7.
That is how much?
7 out of 10.
On
like
TikTok.
Like when I'm doing videos, my background music, 7 out of 10 jams, Afrobeat.
This is what we prayed for. Like Mikmil said in one of his, I used to pray for times like this, you know? So you can imagine we're here today. And trust me, this is just the beginning of it.
That's it.
This is the beginning of it, because what is coming? It's way beyond more than what we've seen. What is coming is, like, it's beyond what we've seen already, because with the likes of Burna Boy right now, Davido, Wizkid, Rema, Ruga, these guys with
my favorite guy right now is the Charlie Popping guy.
Charlie Popping.
Inside that, your Avian song. Another Avian day inside.
you know, sometimes a lot of people don't understand. For me, being a Nigerian, I listen to these guys. It might just seem like a regular wordplay for some people. For me, when I listen to some of them, I listen to their struggles, their stories. People are telling you what they've been dealing with.
So music is storytelling.
Some people might not agree with me, but there are some guys where you listen to their music, they're actually telling you their story. They're telling you about how it started, the days they had no food, the days they had no shoes. And here you can see them today. Traveling from one continent to the other.
Very true.
And
many years back, they wouldn't even think they would use their passport.
They didn't
even have passports.
Funny enough, they didn't even know music would be what would be, like,
imagine.
Make them, to export them out of Africa.
Can you imagine telling your mom or your dad, like, in 20, let's not even go far.
Don't go far.
Maybe 2010, because it's a round number.
That you want to be a DJ or a musician.
That I want to be a DJ. That I'm going to Dubai to be a DJ.
Or you want to be a musician.
Omo, they will do divine prayer and fasting for your head.
that day, first of all, just no anointing oil will come on your head. And pastor is coming first. So they'll be like, evil spirit has taken over my child.
Omo, the devil is working overtime.
Overtime. Hey. So you can imagine where we are now, where today, I believe there are some parents taking their kids to the studio.
It's very true.
Go sing.
True. I was, one of my friend's son is going to uni, and I was looking at the prospectus of the courses that they have right now. So there was like business, marketing, and there was entertainment. The list was this big. There's like sports management. There's a record label management. There's like audiovisual engineer, something, something. And I'm just looking and I'm like, 10 years ago, if you would have actually told me that someone would go to school, go for convocation, wear degree hat and gown.
Let me tell you this. Let me spill this bean for you. Let me tell you something.
See, even the glasses have come out.
I'll tell you one thing right now. You should know this. Mm. Entertainment is a new oil. A typical example, you can see what's going on in Saudi right now. Mm. They are going to pump in billions and billions into entertainment. So we should just get ready. Like I said, that's why I said it's just getting started. Mm-hmm. So just watch out what is going to happen in coming years, because entertainment would be the boom that everybody would want to jump on.
Mm-hmm.
As much as we know, there are so many things.
The same way in 2010, people are jumping into tech.
Tech, exactly. Now so entertainment is really, there's being a guy who is in it, mm-hmm. I can tell you there's a lot. Mm. And there's a lot of areas to actually cover mm-hmm. in entertainment. It's some people just see the end product. You mm-hmm. see a show, you see a club, you see a party. Trust me, there's a lot of behind the scenes that mm-hmm. goes on that, trust me, people are actually going mental behind the stage. Mm. You are just at the audience seeing
you're
something.
Enjoying the finished product.
Enjoying the finished product. But there's somebody going mental behind.
Holding and praying everything.
Like there's somebody who wishes they can hit somebody right there.
I can imagine.
Trust me, they still have to try to comport themselves, be able to make sure everything is fine. They don't want to interrupt the show. The shows must go on, like they say. But at the end of the day, most people just see that. But just
you know, another thing that I think I've noticed from hanging out with you is that sometimes I come and I'm like, I'm having the time of my life. I'm gingered to the code. The DJ is just, hey, everything is a banger. But I'm seeing you, why is that this? And I'm like, I didn't even notice those problems. But you, because you have the intellect of what happens behind the scenes, you can see them from a mile away.
Yeah, see, one of the things about the club, okay, I'll put it this way. Mm. I'll just take it this way. You don't want to see people standing not having their drinks.
Or not having fun. Correct.
Because your feedback is everything.
Mm.
If someone comes and they are not treated nicely today, I can bet you they are not coming back tomorrow.
So would you say that clubbing, if you were to give it like on a scale of 1 to 10,
yeah.
How much percentage does repeat, okay, scale of 1 to 10, how important is it to have repeat business in the clubbing business?
See, one of the things I've learned in the club business is once you give people a good time,
they become your ambassadors.
Automatically they're your family.
I mean, case in point.
so you don't even need
that
to
that was
be,
a stupid question.
You don't even need to beat yourself around it.
Mm.
Like you're saying, you see me behind the scenes running, pointing my hands here or there.
Mm.
Because there's this thing we call perfection in this business. And there's what we call close to perfection as well.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, even if you're not getting the perfection, make sure you're getting close to it. Because at the end of the day, I want to make you an ambassador of what I do.
Mm.
I want you to come back and like I said, a lot of people don't know the challenges we face.
Mm.
There's a lot of challenges. Mm. That, like, trust me, the challenges are a lot where you're dancing, having fun. Myself, I'm dealing with one customer that probably maybe he's had too much alcohol, or I'm dealing with one.
Speaking of that, I want to put you in a bit of a conundrum. And I'm sorry, guys. Like, today, I'm glad that we've already established he's an engineer by day, but he's an entrepreneur. And today, I want to speak to the juice of that entrepreneurship he has and the line of business that he has, which is entertainment and clubbing.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. Like, I just tried to put it in my head. Let me create for you a scenario. I come and, you know, I say, Marcus, I need a table. I have my friends visiting from Kenya. I want to show them a good time, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, front and back, Amaka, I will only spend a couple of, if I get to thousands, now go do. You know? And then you have now somebody. And then that day you say, okay, fine, Amaka, I'll give you a nice table. You spend your money and everything. It's not every day you should be drinking for free. Sometimes support your friends also.
Those are the G's.
Uh-huh. We'll come back to that one. And then now on top of that, you now give Amaka this table and her girls, they're spending everybody and everything. Then one big old guy now comes and says, I want that table. And you know that this one is going to drop 5 or 6 digits. Marcus, I don't know how I will handle that situation.
Okay. See,
I don't know. It's a tricky one.
See, this is a very common thing that happens. It happens every day. Mm. Every day in the club business. It's very common. Mm. So sometimes we try to do on the basis of you book your table. Mm. You've given me the assurance that you're coming.
Standard.
And I'll be like, okay, this person is coming. Mm-hmm. And at what time are you coming?
Mm-hmm.
You need to be specific. Mm-hmm. I'm there between 1 to 1:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. I should be there. I'm like, okay, fine. When you've booked like that, for sure, I'll try to keep that table a bit open mm-hmm. up to that time. Mm-hmm. But your scenario you've given to me is like, okay, club is packed up already.
Omo, it's not like I've ever seen Skylounge exactly.
So one big shot comes and I know this guy is a big shot. He's going to spend. He's going to do a good amount of money tonight. Mm. Trust me. Like you said, I know you, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's one thing I just this is my own. It might be wrong.
Yeah.
It might be right.
But we are here to make business.
Exactly. So, but what I'm gonna do first? I speak to the manager. Hey, what's up? Do I have any is there any way we can magically make one table appear from somewhere? He's gonna be like, oh no, we are full, no tables. Mm. Trust me, this is not me trying to make my friends feel bad. Mm. The truth is, I look for people that I know.
Mm.
I look for tables that I know. That, like you said,
you're a businessman.
Like you said, you and your friends, I can easily come to you and tell you like, Amaka, see within the ground.
Mm.
How many of your friends they? I feel scatter on a table small. I feel make on a day one place. Mm. By the time this guy sits, I'll figure out something. Or by the time this table they leave, I'll make the next table available for you.
So
I have to be able to speak to my friend in it. Because the truth, like I said, there is no room for discrimination in the club.
Facts.
Because the guy who spends 1 dirhams today, probably the next time he's coming, he's going to spend 10,000 dirhams.
Mama, when this podcast gets on Spotify recognition and they give me that $500,000, why do you think I will come and they will write my name on the screen?
Dorine is
we don't blow.
So basically, like you said, it's difficult. Trust me, it is really, it's not a joke.
And this is the kind of stuff you cannot even learn in Harvard. You learn it on the job. You have to use sense.
So imagine where you're telling people who are having fun, having a drink, and you're trying to get them off their table. It doesn't come by easily.
Mm.
It doesn't come by easily. But like I said, make sure you know the person you're trying to play with. Like, oh, can you do this for me?
Correct.
And sometimes in order for me to do that, I throw a drink on them. I'll be like, okay, you know what? Drinks on the house.
Correct.
Can you guys just give me the table? Drinks on the house. Yes. Let's water it down there.
Yes.
And trust me, if my friend is cool with it, but if that doesn't happen, trust me, that big shot has to wait until I'm able to get a table. Because at the end of the day, you didn't make a reservation. You didn't inform me you were coming. You just walked in. Trust me, I might be feeling bad because I feel like I'm losing.
Well, because the coins are going. Well, it's a big number.
But
you're now calculating what Amaka is spending. This guy spend 20 times. No, it's a hard decision. I'm personally telling you individually right now, that's why I cannot do what you do. They will be dragging me on social media every day. It takes a lot of grit, sense, and to operate on a level where you have to try and balance the situation is not easy.
It's not easy. Like I said, there's a lot of behind the scene.
Mm.
One of the things I'm grateful for working with Skylounge is my partner. My partner is, I think we make it balance.
Mm.
My partner is a very straightforward guy.
Mm.
PJ. Mm. He's very straight. When I mean someone is straight, he's straight. So we are just the perfect balance.
Each other. Yeah.
So for me, I'm a bit of a chilled, relaxed. Mm. For him, he's like, oh, straight.
Mm.
So that's where we create the balance between both of us. And it's been over 2 years we've been running Skylounge together. And I feel like we fight a lot, but we try to create the perfect balance.
It's perfect. It's good fighting. Fighting is very healthy. I keep telling people, and sorry to digress the conversation, is like one thing I don't really like about this generation is that people are constantly trying to fight from adversity of life.
Yeah.
Pain is necessary in life, but suffering is a choice.
Yes.
Everybody, even you who's so vibrant right now, there's those aspects of your life where you might feel like you're struggling. But I don't like this whole notion of people saying, oh, you have to do this to do this. If you do therapy, then you won't feel this. It's a lie. Me, I've been in therapy for 2.5 years. The same struggles I started with, I still did there inside that my Evian soap.
The demons are still chasing you.
And they're growing bigger and bigger. They know they leave you.
They'll never leave you.
So I don't like the fact that people feel like they can prevent it. It's part of life.
No, one of the things, like you said about the generation today, one of my biggest problems I think I have with people today is people just want to break free from friendship. Why?
Marriage, Nko.
No, I don't. I don't want to even go there because if
Let's
I start,
not go there.
If we go there now, if we scatter this table.
I never even wear Shwebi exactly. With your name, so make me relax now.
So I feel like a lot of people should take it easy. Mm. You having an argument or a fight with your friend doesn't require you guys to fall out.
Correct.
A lot of people always want to feel like this entitled. They walk out. No. Mm-mm.
Why? What got us here?
What got us here?
What do we need to do to ensure that we don't get here again?
We can actually talk it out.
Correct.
Are we friends? We're friends, right? I can tell you, boy, you're not doing well. We should talk it out. You shouldn't be mad at me.
Correct.
Just take the message. We have an argument. There's a misunderstanding.
Nobody's perfect.
Yes, we just disagree to agree. We come to a point. You cannot just fall out because we had an argument. So a lot of people today always want to take the door. They have a problem, they want to take the door. No. I feel like for me, and the whole concept of people always talking about mental health, we understand it's a serious issue, but
Correct. It's
not in every case you should bring that
Thank
in.
Thank you. I think some people use it as a clutch or they use it to gaslight situations. Yeah,
exactly.
Like I've seen, no offense, I've seen some people who are absolutely horrible. And then maybe let's say, for example, case in point, someone who was doing very well. Pandemic came, it scattered their entire business.
Yeah.
Instead of just saying, oh, man, I could have not planned for this thing financially. I'm struggling, this and that. I need help, A, B, C, D. They will now start saying, oh, mental health this, mental health that. Like, why are you covering the root cause of the issue? That in itself is not addressing their mental health.
Exactly.
And then I've seen them now. Finally, we are on the other side of the curve. And they're still dragging that thing to get pity.
No.
There's one guy who actually told me, Yvette, this mental health thing, are they use them to catch crews with babes? Because the moment I now say, I'm sad, work is stressing me, I don't know what to do, I'm just feeling so confused, understanding my emotions, the baby is like,
oh no,
talk to me, everything. Before you know,
my shoulder is a little on me.
Before you know, the pants don't come out. Voila. Voila.
I beg go.
Anyway, let's rest that matter for now because me and you, we can gist forever.
Even now that you brought up this aspect of the pandemic, I'll just take you a bit back on how I really dived into the club business.
Please, so thank you for leading us there.
Having my day-to-day job, being in aviation, having been following some guys in the clubs and all of that, I've always been the guy who, I don't want to take a shine. So I just go, and sometimes I have my friends who are visiting from Nigeria. I'd be like, let's go to this club. Mm. Let's go to that club. I had access. Mm-hmm. But I was never the guy who wanted to be in front. But when COVID happened, shit hit the fan. It hit the fan where...
And you were in aviation, the most
most affected sector. So imagine being in aviation and all of a sudden, boom. I'll never forget it. On the 3rd of June.
Remember the date.
Yeah, 3rd of June 2020. I was just in bed and then someone emailed from the CEO. He's like, isn't it now the next 24 hours you're going to see it? And then the next, I was just still chilling and next minute I got the next email like, boom, you've been made redundant, blah, blah, blah. Just this is whenever you're ready for your flight ticket, let us know. We're going to book your ticket back home. I was like.
Just like that.
And trust me, guess the funniest thing I did on that day.
Tell me.
I popped a bottle of champagne actually.
We move.
because at that point I didn't even know how to take the message. So I had a champagne back in my fridge. I just like, you know what? I took that champagne. Okay. I was like, started drinking and then I turned on my Bluetooth speaker, just listening to music, just catching crews, like having fun. Then I called one of my friends, I called Timmy, I was like, Timmy,
you don't scatter.
You don't scatter out. Timmy's like, what are you gonna do? I was like, I'm not gonna lie to you. He's one of the guys I respect a lot, Timmy. He's one of my friends that he really
shout
watches
out
my
to
back.
You, Timmy.
No, he knows. I don't even need to give him a shout out. He knows. Real. I was like, I'm ready to go home. Let me just go to Nigeria. Let me go. Timmy is like, shut up there. You're not going anywhere. As in, he said it with an order. You're not going anywhere. Shut up.
I'm telling you. Sit I'm there. Commanding it.
He's like, sit down here. What do you want to do for Nigeria?
For what?
I was like,
for where? How you even go there?
I was like, Timmy. I don't have anything. He's like, just relax, don't worry. And I'm, right here, I'm going to say, shout out to all my friends who held me down, like really, really big down during COVID time. I could walk around with zero dirhams in my pocket, but I felt like a king in the streets because I had friends that were in the right places at the right time, touching my lives at the right, like, I lacked nothing, even when I had no job. So shout out to those people that got sent in those times and they were really, really...
But it is actually a reflection of your character. Because if you are not going to plant the same seed in your life, why do you think you're deserving
of it? Exactly. No, because like you said, that's it. Because...
I mean, look at our friendship.
Exactly. And you know, like, I always... There's this saying, they say, like, your network is your net worth, right?
Period.
Trust me, it took me COVID to actually realize that your network is your net worth. Because COVID happened, I'm telling you from the place of having zero balance, like you have a bank account, but the account is zero because absolutely you don't know where the next meal is coming from. But
let me throw a spanner in the works. Let me span you in a loop a little bit. That very day when you received that email and you sat down and you open your champagne, you are catching cruise with your speaker. If someone had shown you a vision of saying, this is going to be Marcus of 2023, would you have believed it?
Trust me, even if you're using black magic to tell me, I will not believe it. Even if I this is me being honest. But that's why one of the things I'm always proud about being a Nigerian for. There's this resilience we have.
No go carry last. As in,
we can never carry last.
Never. So,
but like never. I said, shout out to my friends, big time. They really did hold me down that time. And then that brings us to where the club business came about. Where
this just go sweet. Let me see properly. Me too, I've never had this.
So that's where the whole idea came in. Like, what am I going to do? So even before the club business started, I just started shopping for people. I was like, oh, people are going to text me. Like, so since people could not travel.
Yes.
Who could not travel.
I found an opportunity.
So I just go to the mall, take a photo. I have a friend of mine who's a personal shopper.
One thing we know about Nigerians, the drip is always given. And that's on purr. Yes.
So it started with that, just going to the mall. And trust me, do you know how it feels where you actually don't have money?
And you're buying luxury
items. You're buying luxury items. Trust me. No, and guess what? Most of the items I was going to buy, I go buy them. I just buy, like people say, so there are some people who are sending me the exact money to go buy what I have to buy for them.
And you have to be okay with that.
And trust me, I never said a word because I believe in the power of referrals. I believe in the power of referrals. So the thing was, I'm going to buy for you, no problem.
No problem.
Trust me, sometimes I had to take a taxi. Not just a taxi, I'll walk some distance so that the money I have in my pocket, the taxi can be able to, I can be able to cover the taxi fare.
Got it.
So like I said, just with me having that mindset of, I believe in the power of referral.
Thank you so much for sharing that. There's so much depth in what you've just said. Because, you know, one thing that I don't appreciate about being a Dubai resident is that the city is naturally beautiful. Like sometimes, I remember recently, and sorry to cut you short, my friend came to visit and she was like, in Kenya, if I want to take one picture, I have to do it like 10 times. Because I'll take the picture and see rubbish behind. There will be dust on my shoes. Here, one take, the picture is beautiful.
Boom. You
don't even need to edit nothing.
Nothing.
And sometimes you're not even trying to showcase like I'm living my best life. But the country is designed to just organically make you look like that.
They think we pick money from trees here, actually. Once you mention, I live in Dubai. And then this new phrase, have you come to Dubai? Problem.
Closed.
Problem.
Finished. So I really appreciate like when you actually voice that it takes grit, it takes strength, it takes resilience, it takes lowering yourself sometimes to actually get to where you are right now.
No. If I take a look back about the journey, like I said, started with just shopping for people a bit where I'm making zero money from it. Started doing Teka, shout out to you. Teka introduced me to one guy who owns a car rent. He owns like luxury cars.
Okay.
And like I said, because the idea is, I knew I had nothing, so I was just constantly.
What's more there to
lose? Exactly. So I was just constantly thinking of how to make money. Correct. I was just constantly thinking.
You were in survival mode.
Survival mode. So Teka introduced me to that guy, and trust me, I told him, trust me, I had no client who would rent a car. I told him, I need your number. I might be renting cars from you very soon. which cars do you have? He said, I'll send you a WhatsApp list of cars. Trust me, I'm not joking. I had nobody to rent a car.
It's a lie.
I just told him, give me a number. Maybe I will need you to be renting cars from you. I'll be taking cars. And then he gave me his price list. And then I told him, I want to be a third-party car rental person.
Like pay.
I'm not joking. I just started. I said, I want to be your third-party car rental guy. And he's like, you're joking. I'm like, it is. I started with renting Benz. Mm. The day I called him, I wanted the Rolls Royce. He's like, boy, this dude is serious. So it got to that point where I saw myself that I don't get money. I don't have money, but I was driving Lamborghini. I was driving Rolls Royce. I was like, okay, it has started. Mm. This is it.
I'm feeling something. There's a fire in my belly.
And there's one thing again I believe in. That's why, trust me, I got to believe in the power of social media after COVID happened. Because
is it like you've read my questions? Because you're literally answering them without me asking.
We are connected. The spirit is there. It's going. And again, I'm going to give a big shout out to Chop House.
Mm.
Tola, Chop House. I'm going to give him a shout out. Because why? Even when I have never rented a luxury car before, I called him. Mm. A friend of mine, Nonny Stores, did that connection. I called him. I was like, bro, I want to come and take pictures with your Lamborghini. Mm. Can you please permit me?
Mm.
He says, okay. When I got there, they say, ask, it shall be given unto you. Amen. I said, can I drive it and make videos? First was to take pictures. And I said, can I drive it? Just drive it and make another video. And then I drove it, made some videos and all of that. I'm not joking with you. I posted that video. The next day, somebody told me they wanted the same Lamborghini for 3 days. I'm not joking.
It's a lie.
I'm not joking.
So Marcus has just put crystal clear definition to, there's power. When you have sense, you can fake it till you make it.
I'm not joking. I told my aim was to go take a picture with the car.
That's it.
But because usually I was just renting Benz. But my first Lamborghini that I rented started with the day I posted a video of his car that I was driving it. The next day, somebody requested for a Lamborghini. The next day.
Whoa.
And I called him and I said, do you see I posted? I called him instantly. I was like, bro, I posted with your car yesterday. Do you believe somebody's asking for a Lamborghini today? And that was it. That was the beginning of Marco Cars. And that's how it started. Wow. I was like, you know what? We go on.
Start confused.
Just
start without clarity. So, the goal is just start.
Just start. You just have to start. So, and trust me, that was it. That was how Marco Car started.
And speaking of starting, I also want to give you your flowers today, Marcus. Because since time immemorial, I've been saying it to you, podcast. And one day you just come here and say, this podcast you've been singing, what is the problem? Look at us now. So thank you for always pushing me.
No,
and not giving up on me.
No, of course. And I remember you always said you wanted to start, especially this series that you started now.
Correct.
I remember you've always talked about.
I think you're the second person that I told it to, and you are like, oh yeah, let's do it. It's going
to
blow.
And no, we're here because at the end of the day, like you just said earlier, you just need to start.
Correct.
You just that's just the motive. You just have to start. And
There's one question I want to ask you, and I'm sorry if I'm interrupting you, but it's because the gist is gingering.
Mm-hmm.
Is when you took the picture of you in that Lamborghini, and I have a reason why I'm asking you this question. At that point, how many followers did you have?
I think I had around 7,000 followers then.
Thank you. Thank you very much. God bless you. That is the answer I wanted.
Around 7,000 or so.
Because there's this crazy notion that people think that a large following is what determines success.
No.
Marcus, in this my small 9,000 people, if I tell you the kind of miracles I've witnessed in there.
One of the things I've loved about having 1,000 followers or having 1 million followers is it's not about quantity.
Mm.
It's about quality.
Period. Drop the mic.
Because
we can't drop it.
Yeah, exactly. it's just all about quality.
Mm.
I'll go again.
Mm.
In the club business, another challenge a lot of people don't see that I see. Sometimes you can see the club packed up with 500, 900 people.
Ah.
And guess what? My friends might be calling me, oh, today was a great night. You've had a good night. I'm like, yes, I had a good night. It was good. But I look at my partner and be like, did we make money today? My partner will be like,
huh?
My partner be like, we don't make money today. Trust me. And like I said, that people see that. But I can bet you there are days I have 50 people in that club.
And you cash out.
And me and my partner will look at ourselves, give ourselves a smile. Like,
we did all right.
We're done. You do it today.
Toilet!
this is how it works. Mm. So a lot of people see that. Don't be carried away
and
by
both
those.
Both are actually important. Those heavy nights.
Yes.
Because I'm imagining the day you'll have 500 people who probably not spend even a quarter.
Exactly.
But one thing that you cannot underestimate is one even if 200 of them bring out phone.
See, that's, see, like I said, both days are actually, for correct. Us, both days are good days.
Correct.
But the difference
volume
is,
volume and value.
Exactly.
Correct.
One day, it fuels your account balance. The yes. other day, it fuels the vibe. It fuels up the club. So,
correct.
But at the end of the day, both are actually good.
Thank you.
You just only need to know where the energy goes. One energy goes to the crowd, one energy goes to your bank. So you choose. So that's where we actually know what we're doing. That's why you don't stop.
Mm.
That's the reason why you don't stop. Because if it's a good night, a sold out night, trust me, there's a chance you've made some coins.
Mm.
Not your target, but you've made some coins. So the next day you're looking at, okay, I need to make the coins back again. I need to hit the target. So you go again.
Mm.
It's a club business is one of the craziest business I think I got into.
Wow.
If I wasn't in it, and I was told all of this, trust me, I wouldn't have gone in.
You're serious.
Yeah, but going in it...
There are some businesses you don't choose. They choose you. And that's some period. Trust me,
there are some days you are mentally low. Mm. You're mentally not in the mood to mix.
But you're in the clubbing business. You cannot show the world that.
Exactly. You cannot show the world that.
You have to put on the face.
Trust me.
It's like working in customer service. You think the customer knows you fought with your bobo or you're cramping and your lady days are coming. You have to go there and say, good afternoon, sir. How are you today?
No, you don't know. And then you have some people who are... And there are some people that are enjoying the clubs.
Mm.
The waiter is right in front of them there. They don't order with the waiter.
Oh, they call you.
They'll be like, come to my table. And trust me, some days in the club, you have 4 or 5 people like that.
Yeah, and maybe that day is just one day you're like, the aviation side has kicked my bum off this week. Let me just enjoy today.
And that's the truth.
Oh, more.
And another thing again, even mixing with the aviation and club business, the balance is really crazy for me because there are some days I go to the club, I know I have to work the next day.
Mm.
And alcohol rules, you don't drink before club.
Mm.
Trust me, the temptation is high.
But let me tell because you, that means you have a very good, you can fight it.
Because trust me, there are some friends who will tell you like,
that's the day everybody wants to buy you
champagne. That's the day somebody
the devil is working over there. Nobody wants other than the devil.
Like, I want to buy, but I'm here, you go drink. Oh. Are you drinking with me?
Oh.
I'll be like, buy, I'll drink.
Mm.
Just buy. But trust me, he's buying. I could be enjoying the vibe, but the last thing I want to do is actually let that alcohol go in my mouth because I don't even want any... Like I said, I try to make sure everything is balanced. Here, I'm safe here, I'm doing it right at the same
discipline.
Time.
Discipline.
Yeah, discipline is actually is actually a big deal when it comes to... And,
blending the like, two universes.
And of course, discipline coming with the ladies.
Hey! Marcus! hey!
Just like catch breath for that one.
Omo, be like say I need to sip something. Because, guy, you are talking and you are spitting facts. Let's go there. I mean, from the first encounter when we met, I just say, So this is how everything is.
I'm laughing because this tea, I don't want to spill the bean too much.
Let me just ask you from this perspective. Obviously, you have two completely different worlds, right? Yeah. And the Marcus that goes to work for aviation is a slightly different Marcus from the one that goes to the club, right? Yeah. How do you think the clubbing business has changed your perception about women?
Okay.
That's a very good question.
When it comes to being in the club, for instance, you can imagine me going into a corporate life. I see different kind of women. I come to the club. I see another set of women. But one of the things I love about it is sometimes the people you meet in the corporate world are actually people who still come to the club.
I love that.
So what you're going to do is you have to be able to just identify people who are actually there for a good time. People who are there just to constitute nuisance. And people who are there for...
To be very honest, majority of the beefs you see in the club are started by women. I don't want you to say that so that they don't come and say, you say this about women. No. I will say it with my full chest.
Now,
women, they cause wahala for club.
When you see two guys fighting, just trust me.
Standard.
They don't drag one girl.
Standard.
But the good thing about... My perception about women would always be the same. I have huge respect for women, both in the club and outside the club. Whoever wants to behave recklessly or behave irrationally, I feel like it's up to them. They are representing themselves and their family. It's none of my family. You know, I would only try, if you go out of hand, we have bouncers who are going to be able to
correct.
Take you out. Sometimes you have people underage. You're not coming in, actually.
Mm.
Underage, no, because the consequences is bigger.
Let's go there. Because, you know, I'm just thinking it from this perspective. Hear me out.
Yeah.
Probably, for example, this was many years back, but I'm going to give this example. I was turning 18, like, in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I had some of my cousins coming from the UK. First time I'm seeing them, like, in 12 years.
Yeah.
So, of course, they wanted to go clubbing. They were, like, 23, 24. So I don't want to be left out. Like, imagine now the house is full with your cousins. They brought you new buffs.
I'm not coming out. Leave me out.
So I now went to the club and they asked for my ID and I didn't have ID. Me too, I didn't. I was a mumu. I didn't plan for fake. I did nothing, which, of course, you can't find here. Very rare.
Yeah.
They bounced me out. Do you know that thing gave me trauma? And I imagine now that was then when we didn't even have social media.
Exactly.
If I was now sitting in my bed crying.
And you're ranting.
And I'm just seeing them
post. And you're seeing their post. No.
But I want to understand, why is that very important from the business side?
Trust me. Here it is it's a big deal. It is actually a big deal. You don't want to find yourself in a place where when they ask you, what happened? Why are you shut down?
Oof.
I let an 18-year-old
come into the club. 16-year-old. And some of these 16-year-olds, they look 31.
Some of them, they look like mother of two.
Oh, Omar.
And trust me, you don't want that to be, when they ask you, what happened?
Mm.
And you want to explain, imagine you're explaining, you go explain tire.
Omar.
No evidence.
Omar, you go shalaye tire.
You go tire. Because at the end of the day, because you look at yourself and they ask you, why are you shut down? Oh, you're shut down because you let somebody who is...
Underage.
I want to even make it clear. You say somebody who is 20 years, 11 months, and three days. Don't worry, we're not letting you in.
Period.
Because the consequences is bigger than what you're not worth the risk. You're not worth it. You can go home.
Thank you.
Just go home.
And no problem. At least I know in a few days, I will be able to have you for a lifetime.
Yeah, of course. What's the rush? By the time you're even getting to 30 and 35, until you run the tire.
It's not me that you're calling me to club. I say, Marcus, I slept.
I don't sleep at all. So, and then again, I want to go. And there are a lot of people that have this notion about girls in clubs being prostitutes.
Mm.
I want to actually really address that.
Mm.
Recently, there's a guy in Nigeria who's an influencer or whatever he is. Mm. They call him Lege something, Lege Miami or Lege whatever. Mm. I actually want to address him. On this, he made reference and said 95% of the girls or Nigerian girls in Dubai are prostitutes.
Can I just add something there? If it was not even for Nedu interrupting him, he would have not said Nigerian girls.
Exactly.
He said girls.
See, my message to you is, when you go to the market, you want to go buy pepper, you actually see pepper because that's what you're coming to buy. If you go to clubs and you're looking for prostitutes, that's what you're going to get. You don't go to the clubs and refer to everybody as being a prostitute because, trust me, being in a club business, I know girls that come to the club, they buy their tables, they pay their bills, and they're going to buy more than some of the guys that are sitting in the club. Mm. And those girls will walk out of the club easily, seamlessly. So you having to try to say that 90% of or 95% of the girls or the Nigerian girls are prostitute, bro, better get your facts right because, trust me, I know girls in tech, I know girls in real estate, I know girls in marketing, I know girls that run their company, I know girls that are chefs, people that own restaurants. Like, man, guy, put some respect on these ladies, please.
Thank you.
Ladies are really working hard. Like, they are dominating the market. So the idea of writing them off in that manner, trust me, boy, that's low.
Extremely
that's actually low of you. You don't do that.
I was so insulted by it because in my mind I was like, first of all, how long did you live in Dubai to make that?
Trust me, he never lived in Dubai. I think he probably even a transit or maybe one day stop.
Oh.
And that's what he's saying.
Marcus Mende, I have nothing else to say. Period. It is what it is.
So for me, he better watch. Like, I feel like sometimes people are actually what they say.
You're a reflection of what you say.
Because
that's what I hate about right now, whereby it's got, and thank you very much. Because you're in this business, you see day in, day out. So you're a person who can make a conclusive statement with facts and figures,
yes,
right?
Yes.
I hate the fact that right now anybody thinks they can open their mouth to say anything outrageous just to trend.
See, the business thrives on ladies being in the club.
Facts.
Yes.
Yes.
But trust me, I have friends that I beg, just like you. I can tell you, on Friday, hope you're coming to Sky Lounge.
Mm.
I'm telling you, and I'll tell you, get your friends.
Yes.
Now, why would somebody see you And then all of a sudden, there's this tag already on you. Ah, this one, I shall leave her. So, but at the end of the day, what I'm trying to say is, we have friends that we call on. Hey, come with your friends. We have girls that you see them, you put, and you're calling them, you're not even calling them for free. You're going to put drinks on their table because now you're the one inviting them.
Correct.
You're going to see...
How many times have we had a situation where you're like, no, Amaka, today is on me. I say, Amaka, please.
That's just like that.
Okay, at least let us cover this and this. And you're like, Amaka, why are you disgusting? I say, no, it's a business at the end of the day.
You need to run it. So at the end, and you see some girls who are having night out from work, out of office, somebody's birthday, a girl's birthday. Like, you can see girls in these different manners. Like, so they're all going to come in. So,
and another question to me is, I've come to the club. I've worn my night's dress, my top best wig, lashes done day, heels, dress, everything. Now, when you see me twerking, all of a sudden I'm on a shower. So, did I come to stand and sing like I'm in the choir?
No. Let people have fun.
Simple.
Let the ladies breathe.
Marcus, you're speaking to my soul. No,
let the ladies breathe. Let them have fun. Let them be free.
I beg.
Trust me, if you approach a girl, you try to talk to a lady, be a gentleman. If she wants you, she would follow you.
Correct.
If you want an shower prostitute, like they say, when you see them, trust me, they don't waste time. They will tell you their price.
Period.
This is my price. So, so stop referring to every lady you meet who is dancing or twerking or wearing a revealing cloth as to be a prostitute. No, come on.
That's wrong.
We should do better, actually.
And actually, I like, and I know this is going to sound, maybe they will cancel me, but what do I care? Another thing that I feel, it's gotten to a point where, and this I think is more of the vain aspect, whereby like it takes... There's so many women out there right now that are not self-aware and they might be caught in this social media bubble. I'll be very honest. I've been through it.
Yeah.
Where you think like the vain things of life is what defines who you are as a woman. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it can be misconstrued so easily. And now it's gotten to a point where, because that's the trending thing, you buy bag, you buy shoe, you take her on holiday that she can Instagram, that's it. No, there's more to that.
No.
There's more to women than that.
Let me come back to one of the importance why we're having this podcast.
Mm.
The Dubai story, their stories. One of the things I love about Dubai can break you as fast as it can make you. I'll say that again. Dubai can break you as fast as it can make you.
Mm.
Your choices really, really matter what you do in Dubai. Your choices, like, it's actually those choices you make.
Mm.
Do you want to be for the gram life, for the...
Oh,
for
Dubai that? Will support you. Dubai will encourage you.
Dubai will help
Dubai
you.
Dubai will tap you. It will propel you.
Dubai will push you. You want to do bougie life?
But the day that it decides to drop you, it will not hesitate.
Do you know, that day you I don't know what I'll do.
And it's so sudden. It's not even like a transaction. It's not a slippery slope. It's just bloop, you're inside.
You want to be this. Dubai, like I always say, one of
these. These people
I love,
have mastered the art of branding.
Yeah, so see.
They have.
Dubai can make you. No, so, like, whatever you decide to do in Dubai, if you are a good thinker, you have a business plan, whatever you want to do in Dubai, trust me. Dubai will actually propel you faster to do that.
Correct.
As long as you have the right connects and the right people to meet, Dubai would showcase you
to
the world.
Can I give you an example? In this, your small age, it's not very big. This is something like someone in aviation would probably do as a retirement plan that, okay, I'm almost retiring. Let me open club.
Yeah.
This is a city that has allowed you to do it in your prime.
So like I said, even as much as we do all of these things, like one of the things that, so I'm not gonna lie, some days I'm exhausted.
I can imagine. It's not
easy. I'm actually exhausted.
It's not
where
easy.
Sometimes I just call my partner and be like, hey boy, cover up, please. I cannot make it. And some days I'm at work and the club still has to function. I'll call him like, hey, I'm not gonna be there tonight. Just cover up for us. So he's a very understanding guy. Like I said, we fight a lot, but we always come to the point where we finally come to agree, we delegate, we dialogue, there are so many, and trust me, there's a lot coming up for us. Because now that brings me to the part of things that are also affected the business. We have this Nigeria that has been banned for a while, this whole visa situation. It actually affected everything.
Correct.
It affected the inflow of people. Like for me, it really affected my car business a lot because I did something for myself. Since I'm not the owner of the luxury cars, I'm a third-party rental guy, I had to just focus on the Nigerian market.
Because that's the cocoa of your bread.
Exactly. So Nigerians, so I put myself at the center of, I put myself in a place where almost every Nigerian that is coming into the city, there's a way they have to connect with poor Marcus.
You're driving into my club. So from the moment I pick you in the airport, it's my car.
Exactly.
I can coordinate to your travel. From the travel, you need entertainment to in my
exactly.
club.
Exactly. So
you're a seamless part of their journey.
Like your trip is planned. You want to stay 1 week. 1 week, I'm going to tell you everything you're going to do in a week. You have the car that's going to, you'll have your chair for your driver, whatever. It's going to take you wherever you
want
to go.
You want food, Chop House.
Chop House is there. Dubai Naija Foodie. Dubai Naija Foodie, my lady.
I beg, oh, madam, no vex. Your invite is coming. Please, I beg. No vex. No. Please. And as
Big shout out to the Nigerian vendors, the people who are doing, honestly. They're really, like, trust me, I don't miss home when it comes to food. I have the likes of Chop House.
I cannot say the same for me. Because even for me, the people who are cooking Kenyan food are Nigerians.
Are you joking?
I am not joking, 110%. And that's one stereotype I really want us to break. That East and West. But anyway, we're not here to start a war. No, that's the conversation for another day.
So for
day.
Me, big shout out to Chop House, Dubai Naija Foodie, like Mama Does. Who am I missing? These are people that have actually, you call and then for sure you're going to get your food delivered to you at any time, any day. There are some nice Nigerian restaurants. There's Kiza, there's Enish.
Yeah.
You can stop by it. But when it comes to food, I don't really miss home. My fridge is always stocked up with food from, like, homemade food. I'm not the one making them, but it's always stocked up.
You get it, Dad. And one thing I know for sure, because, you know me, I'm already your sister. They don't indoctrinate me. My name is Amaka.
Amaka!
So
I'll make sure you're from Anambra State.
I am from Anambra.
I'll tell the minister to give you Nigerian passport.
It's coming and make them add Josie on top. Thank you.
Of course.
I hang out with a lot of my Nigerian friends. Shout out Ogwa. And I know them. The first day they'll come to me, oh, let's do all this fine dining area. Next day, Omo, where can we get Amala? Please, I don't tire for all this, your food in this country.
No.
Like Nigerians, it doesn't matter where they are.
Trust
their
me.
Their food is like the connector of their soul to
trust
their
me.
Roots.
Trust me. I've had to be with a lot of Nigerian celebrities. And I'm not going to lie to you. Once they, you know, come on, you live in Nigeria.
Correct.
But trust me, when they land in Dubai, Alpha. Yeah, show me where they go Nigeria food. I'm like, okay, chop something. No, who tell you that one?
No.
The funniest person, there's actually a meme of him. It's Fireboy.
Mm-hmm.
Fireboy is like, I know you chop all this grass. So. Then he made his face like,
What's that?
I mean, then I called Chop House. I was like, Fireboy need food, all of that. So things like that. There's this connection we have with the food and Naija jollof. There are things we have where, like, trust me, I was in Thailand for like 3 days and I'm looking for Nigerian food. I was like, and the person is like, I'm like, you know what? Trust me, I'm going back to Dubai.
I'm going back. It's okay.
It's okay. It's fine.
And they're now wondering, Dubai Nigerian food is not connecting, but
at the end of the day, Nigerian food is bliss. And trust me, and the food is actually exported so well that we have a lot of foreigners that they are happy.
And Nigerians will always make a way, because this one that we have talked about, ban. But there's no day I will not see Ivy posting that there's soup, there's okra, there's ogbono, sold out everything. I said,
no.
Ivy, how you demanded this one? I thought border don't close. Nigeria. Even in the pandemic, there's an enterprising spirit, like you said, you guys have.
Nigerians, one of the things I love about being a Nigerian, I always say, is the idea never to take no for an answer. You tell me no doesn't mean, people will say, oh no, the goal is a goal, change the strategy. No, the truth is, Nigerians don't even want to change. I want to break this door now. So that's the mindset a Nigerian has. A Nigerian is like, why can't I have this? Other people are having it and you don't want me to have it.
Oh, if nobody has it, I'm not there. Yeah.
I'm Nigerian. And you find a Nigerian, tell you, I'm from Nigeria.
Mm-hmm. That in itself, that statement.
That statement
carries a lot of...
There's confidence.
Mm.
Even at my workplace, sometimes people be like, where are you from? I'm from Nigeria. Eh? Mm. What?
You even find yourself, I'm Nigerian.
I'm Nigerian. Mm. What? People be like, I'm like, yes, I'm Nigerian. What do you want to say about us? Tell me.
Period. You cannot say anything after
that. So it goes on and on how Nigerians are. Trust me, Dubai market is fun with Nigerians. Mm. We miss them. We can't wait for them to be back.
They're coming back soon. In
We cannot wait for them to be back. Trust me. By the end of the day, the Dubai story is one amazing story that I would live to share every day, anytime, whenever I get the chance to do it. And I always tell people this thing. A quick message to people who just come into Dubai and they feel like, I just got here. Mm. I should start making money today.
Hey.
Trust me. Some of us here have been here for 10, 15 years before we're able to even get our feet to the ground.
And even in that Dubai story, you will have that one person who will come today and maybe even make it tomorrow.
Yes.
Your own might take longer, but it does not mean that it's not happening.
No, I've had friends. I've had friends that they land in Dubai with no clue today, and the next day you find them landing. So I'm like,
true.
I'm like, dude.
You have people who try to blow back in the country. Nothing happened. Nothing. They come to Dubai. Straight up, boom, it don't happen.
So it's a wonderful, Dubai is a wonderful city. Dubai is home for us.
Correct.
This is the home we call home. Like,
home away from home.
Home away from home. It's,
correct.
It is. And one of the biggest thing I love about Dubai always leaves an impression on people.
Mm.
People come to Dubai. There's none of my clients or anybody that has come to Dubai for the first time and they leave and without telling me their next plan, plan.
Once
they go out, they start telling me like, bro, I'm planning my next trip.
You know what I love? I love it when someone is coming and they're like, oh, Yvette, because it's a Muslim country, what should I do? What should I wear? Do I need to be conservative? Can I come with my expensive jewelry? Did you know some of those stupid notions because you're clueless, which is fine. And sometimes as a resident, you're like, see this villager, what kind of question be this?
Maybe leave my house open.
Now, I'm like, me even, I don't know where my car key is.
Exactly.
I've never even locked my car and I'm okay. If I drop my phone, police go call me, I go enter station and I will pick my phone, not that I'm a criminal.
No.
Like, I honestly keep saying, like, even now when I debate and I'm like, okay, if I was to move somewhere else, I honestly can't think of anywhere else.
I honestly, I've had friends who like, they've left Dubai and they call me on the phone.
Mm.
I'm like, this was in the plan. I'll be like,
the ones who like to Japan and go to Canada and go to US, they say, hey, I'm suffering.
I love, there's one of my friends, there's something he's doing now. Tony is doing a very nice, he has a very nice podcast that he's doing right now. He's talking about the convenience of Dubai. He has a new app, Tor.
Yes.
This app, trust me.
The Karim for tour tracks.
Yeah, for tour tracks.
Yes.
So you can imagine, we have things come to our house. Now, somebody is actually trying to bring... You don't need to look for the towing truck. The towing truck wants to come and meet you.
No, the one that even busts my brain pass. If I want to travel, I'm going to my country. Emirates will come and pick my luggage from my house.
This is... Dubai gives you confidence. Comfort. Sometimes I want to say we are lazy. No, we are not lazy. But the truth is, the country actually gives you the facility for you to have when they say.
You know, Dubai is the only place that a bachelor can actually live so comfortably and not even think of marriage, because it's so convenient and it's designed to kind of, you can delegate everything and still stand
as you stand.
It's not like, hey, I need a wife so she can balance my house. I need someone to be cooking for me, someone to be doing this. So no,
I've had days I'm cooking. Trust me, there's no onions at home. I'm calling. Bye. Can you bring me onions?
It's true.
Trust me. Before I put the gas on, I hear my doorbell. Mm. Ding dong.
It's already there.
Onions is already there.
Imagine if you had to do that, maybe if you're back home. You've come from the club and then you maybe have a mild hangover and you're like, I need to fry one spicy egg with noodles. Then you open the food, there's no onion. You have to wait till morning.
You're sleeping hungry.
That's it.
No, trust me. As much as we love the city, it has given us, like, they give you reasons to love it.
Correct.
Each day.
Tell me why you would stay in a country like this so long that will never even give you passports. Those other countries, they don't ask themselves that question.
No.
They don't ask themselves that question. And that's where the power lies.
That's it.
I feel like we've gone so far. And that's one thing about me and Marcus. We can gist for days. This is technically us. There's no day this guy will come here and we talk for less than half an hour. Impossible cannot happen.
No, trust me. And the good thing, like, and most of the times we talk, even when we talk on the phone, there's this encouragement that goes between us.
I always live with my spirit. Marcus, I don't know today. If it's not you, is it not you? You, when you enter a room, you command presence. Why are you shrinking yourself? I say, hey.
And trust me, all these things actually work. You just manifest them. It actually works. Because for me, coming from the place that I've come through pre-COVID, post-COVID.
Let's go back there. You were telling us after you got the letter And then you started Markov Dubai Cars. Now, we really haven't gone into the cocoa of how Sky Lounge happened.
Yeah, we haven't. Okay.
We haven't
okay,
gone
okay,
there.
Okay, let me just brush that quickly, how Sky Lounge started.
Don't brush it quickly. That's no, the
Sky Lounge. So the fact that I've had an idea, like there's always been idea in the business. Mm. Like I said, I've been just going behind some guys who've been doing the business for a while. Mm. And then
that whole time you did not know God was preparing you. You were shadowing them, shadowing, just but seeing, you did not know God was giving you the intellect.
You never, you know, you learn some things. You don't know that there's a day would come.
Nothing is by choice, chance, not or exactly. coincidence. It's not, always not, part of His bigger plan.
It, like it will happen one day. You don't Correct. Know. So then I started. There's this lounge at Olympus Sky Lounge. I started. Then I was just doing it. A few of my friends are coming to support me.
Where is this place? Like,
it's a Media City.
Okay. So, was it a big place?
No, it's just by the poolside. So winter is there, weather is cool. So opening is a rooftop. Mm-hmm. I have my few friends coming to support me because, like I said, my friends has really been.
You should change your name to Marcus May of Dubai.
They actually call me May of Dubai. Mm-hmm. Shola calls me. My friend, he started it. And to this day, there are a lot of people who call me May of Dubai. So, but I just laugh about it most of the time because I don't want any problem. And they say, who give you mayor for Dubai? But at the end of the day, they call me the name. And sometimes I take it, I laugh about it. Mm. But then I started. Late 2020, when things started easing up a bit, I started Olympus Sky Lounge, just hanging out with friends. People would come and chill. Along the line, I met PJ. PJ was doing somewhere else. Mm. And then when we met, one way or the other, there's this persistence he had that, Marcus, I want us to work together. Mm. I want us to work together. For me, I was like, bro, I'm just trying to find money. I'm hungry. I beg. Leave me. He's like, we'll work together. Until he was, funny enough, he was the one that got Sky Lounge. Mm. And he's like, I found somewhere. Let's go. Let's try. And then I think that was on the 28th of July or so. Either 28 or 29, something around that. 28th of July, 2021. Mm. We spoke to the manager. Like, let's do a trial. Trial was so impressive. And the manager was like, okay, you guys have it. Go ahead. And talking to you 2 years and running, it's been it.
Let me tell you, for me, my Sky Lounge journey. There was two audiences in Dubai where there was a bridge and nobody captured that market.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe I've never told you this before, so I can see your heart palpitating. Boom, 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 boom. Make I gist you, my brother. Let me give you your flowers. So, Yvette, at this juncture of my life, my 30s, I cannot do that after party clubbing thing again.
Never.
I'm the kind of person who I prefer brunches because that gives me an extra day to manage my hangover on Sunday and then Monday I can go to work fresh, right? So I love brunch. Back then it was like Friday, Saturday was the weekend, right? So we would go for brunches and everything. But every brunch ends at 7.
Yeah.
And you know the devil operates with the darkness. So there's a certain sweetness that starts when the brunch is just ending. That's when all of a sudden you're like,
That's when it is entering your veins.
And you're like, we cannot go home.
No, it's too early.
No, it's too early. But then there was a gap now. Like, where do we go? What do we do? Because now the next option is you either go home, maybe change, refreshing your makeup or everything, and then go now to the club like from 11 until 3. Then one day we were just leaving brunch, and then I'll even give them a shout out. Oh, lounge. And I was like, no. Man, I can't go home. Like, I'm already in the spirit. Today I have to club. I have to do something. Then Izzy, my friend, shout out Isabella, was like, I know this one place in Conrad. They're just fairly new, but the vibes are correct. Like, it's a chilled out lounge kind of setting. And I know you love it because they play Afrobeats. So in my mind, I'm thinking, shisha, lounge. Omoigodalo. Hey. I take it back. It's as if I was teleported from a experience to a greater experience. And I'm now looking at my watch. I'm like, it's not even 11 p.m.
And you are already.
I was.
You are climax already. And you see.
In fact, I went home at 1:30 and I was fine.
Because you see, one of the things I always tell people, like, Sky Lounge is not a place where, trust me. Mm-hmm. One of the things you get, I can guarantee you. You would get a proper quality vibe, and most importantly, you're gonna enjoy the music. Shout out to our DJs who are. Making sure that happens.
You have to bring all of them here one day. I have to interview all of them.
Shout out to our DJs. Trust me. Mm. They know. Once they see the crowd, they know where to go, what to play.
Correct.
They hold. And once they get hold of you, you're done.
You're done.
Once the DJ, that's why I respect DJs a lot, because once they get hold of you on that stage, that's it. You're already, you're, there's nothing you can do anymore.
So if you were to list three things that are critical to the success of a clubbing business, what would those three things be for you?
Three things that are critical.
Yeah, like this one, if you don't get it, you're done. Because sometimes I see all these people, they'll be having lighting, flying monkey, flying this, and 6 months they don't close.
Most importantly, your staff are number one people. Mm-hmm. Your serious people that have direct contact with the guest, they are key. Mm. Once you have the right people who are having the talking to them, trust me, one of the things I love about Sky Lounge is, I'm going to tell you, we have waiters that are actually inviting people for next week. I'm not joking. It's not, sometimes we're like, They will come to me like, I told this one, they will come next week.
Actually,
again,
I've seen it with you. You'll be like, today, you know, because it's summer, a lot of people have traveled and everything. I've seen you having conversations with some of your waiters. They're like, three tables, don't they? You're like, oh, God, no worries. Let me send some messages. Tell me these were the three tables that were empty. I said,
trust me. So you see my what, like I said, those people are the number one people. Treat them right. Your customers will come back. That's first step. Secondly, don't look at your bad days in the business. Those bad days are actually part of the business. It is actually, trust me, you can be running 1 month bad. And guess what? You're running on expenses. But it's not happening. You can run 2-3 months bad. But trust me, one night can actually make you back all the money you lost in 3 months.
Period. One night can just... And it's not even a full night. It's hours, honest.
This is from 12 to 3.
Period.
You can cover... The
90 days.
You can cover 90 days loss. It happens. I've seen it. So the thing is, like I said, staff and you not looking back at the bad days. And then for your own self, your own discipline. Your own self-discipline. Because your self-discipline is actually one key factor. Why I'm going to say that is, don't mix business and pleasure. Once you're able to create the balance of not mixing business and pleasure, trust me, the sky
and
is...
And it's a very delicate balance.
It's a very delicate balance because, trust me, you have the girls, you have the drink, you have everything with
Correct.
You. Once either you're not drinking too much or you're not into the girls too much. So you need to be able to create the balance where you know that I'm here for business. I'm Correct. Here for work. Once it's done, I need to find my way home. Because the girls you see in the club, they are like I said it earlier, they are the selling point of the business.
Correct.
So
I mean, it's true. You cannot see a successful...
Exactly.
There was a guy who was interviewed the other day and he's lived in Kenya, Rwanda and Tanzania, and he was being asked like what his favorite clubbing experience was. He said, Rwanda has the finest babes, but you never see them in the club. Like, he went to the club in Rwanda and it was like a sausage fest. And he's like, nobody wants to party in a sausage fest.
Of course. So
it is safe to say, is it safe to say that's why a lot of people in your business make concessions on like things like ladies' nights and everything?
Yes, you need to, you know, like, there are some nights we open tables and those tables are actually open just for ladies. Yeah. Because the truth is, you don't want them to, because... Why you want to stress ladies?
Exactly.
The society is already putting too much pressure on them.
Tell me about
it. You see a couple of friends who are looking for a place to have a good evening, a good time out. You're just trying to use them. First of all, you need to fill up the place. And there's this thing that happens. God created Adam and Eve, right?
Not Adam and Steve.
But that's what it is. There's already this connection between a man and a woman whereby a man would always want to tend to prove a point. To provide.
It's their innate nature.
A man wants to prove like, okay, I can do this for you. I can do that for you. So I've seen in cases where this is on a very platonic level. I've seen guys send drinks to girls' table.
I mean, if people see me and you, they'll start to calculate things in their brain. But we are friends.
Exactly. So I've seen where guys buy drinks for ladies. It's like, hey, take. Probably, maybe one of the guys eyeing one girl on that table, but he doesn't have the access to that table yet. You send them a bottle of drink. No bad intention. Maybe he wants to be friends. He wants to get to know who that is.
And sometimes even men just want to be seen among.
Exactly.
It's an ego booster. It's true. Like, come on, Marcus, let's be honest. Of course.
No, at the end of the day, we try our best to make sure all of these things are actually put on check. Like I just gave you these three, your staff, don't look at your bad days and your own self-discipline in the business. These three things would
and
actually...
And of course, the entertainment.
No, because of course.
The Sky Lounge I went to 2 years ago and now...
Nah, trust me.
Oga, you are doing well.
Trust me, you're...
Oga, you're doing well. I'm proud of you.
Thank you very much. Well, we give glory to God. We thank God, actually. Because trust me, if not... Like you said, entertainment, yeah, it's very important. I think it's just part of our staff. That's why I'm going to put that. It's part of the staff. Because
correct, it is part of the staff.
Because,
true.
Because the DJs, the music, the waiters, everything, all of this adds up to what brings people. I had an argument with one of my DJ one night. He was playing. Two guys were by the side. They gave him money. I asked him, how much I can give you? I said, they don't pay you your money. They paid you your salary tonight.
I'm not going to pay you. Yeah.
We made a joke about
it. Yeah.
But that's it. But that's because he was giving these guys the time of their lives.
Correct.
They didn't even know when they started just like tipping him more than what he was earning for the night.
And you know, it's actually, I'm glad you said that because most of the times, for people who've been to Dubai on numerous occasions, your first trip in Dubai, you'll remember the Burj Khalifa, the this and that. Your second and your third trip, you'll be like, man, that second time I came, we went to Sky Lounge.
That's it.
That's the memory you'll always remember.
You'll have it. Burj Khalifa is there. It's not going anywhere.
It's not going anywhere.
That memory, that fun that you enjoy, that one will be on your brain.
It'll always be there.
That's why, like I said, we're out to give people good time, good vibes. Where this is the goal.
So I'm going to ask you a true or false question. And maybe you can elaborate a little bit into this. There's this notion, I was listening to the Noriega podcast, and he was saying like, so basically there's this statistic that says, unfortunately, post-corona, alcohol sales have gone down a little bit, of course, for other reasons that we won't mention here. But one of the contributing factors is because in a clubbing experience right now, most people prefer to sit down. Unlike before. Because think about it. If I'm standing, I'll be hyped. I'll be dancing. And every time I'm exerting energy, the alcohol goes down. So I drink more.
You drink more.
But now if I'm more comfortable because of the social distancing that was there before and I'm seated, I can be princess, elegant, you know. I might not drink as much, you know. And also when I now feel like I'm getting there, I can just sit down and I chill. Well, how has business changed for you pre-COVID and post-COVID?
One of the things I would just put it like, I feel like a lot of people who were actively going out a lot before stopped going out a bit. Like, there's a number of it that dropped. They got used to the comfort of their home during the...
House parties.
Yeah, the whole COVID time, house parties, doing things privately. Like you said, some people have switched to the brunch and all of that. So, but when it comes to what are the sales, I cannot tell you if the sales is bad or is great. Because all I'm going to say is, once you find the people with the right company... Once those people are in the right state, even that person that doesn't want to drink or that person that doesn't have energy to vibe, once they are with the right clique of friends.
And also, to be honest, me, I've been to Sky Lounge. Every time I have a chair, but I don't sit down because the music will just naturally propel you to just be doing shakara.
So trust me, the people you go out with is actually, if you're coming out on your own, there are some people, like you said, some people just want to come and chill, enjoy the music.
I love watching people in the
trust
club.
Trust me, you'll watch for 5 minutes because the next 30 minutes, you're actually...
It's gone. It's gone.
So like your question, I cannot give a definite answer to it, but all I can say is, I feel like the people you go out with, even post-COVID, matters a lot. But the only thing I can say to that is the number of people who were going out actively dropped. That I can give you. It actually did drop because there are friends that I have now, like if they were going out to the club maybe 10 times in a month, maybe now they're going once or twice. That's how much it dropped for some people. For some people, they actually need a proper, valid reason to
correct.
Go.
Correct. And also, unfortunately, the dark side of Dubai is like, for some people, it's a very temporary destination. So you can have that one client who will come and patronize you for like 6 months or 1 year straight, and they come maybe twice or three times in a week. And then they just say, oh, yeah, I'm moving to Yankee. What can you do about it?
I've had to deal with this part because this is somewhat, even aside... Aside the fact that it affects the business, there are some people who are our friends that
are
moving.
Exactly, the emotional attachment.
Yes, some people are actually leaving. You wake up for money, somebody is sending you a message like, oh, my time here is up, I'm leaving and all of that. And you'll be like, oh my God, this is actually real. This is actually what it is.
Very true.
So as much as we love the city,
yeah,
there's this reality that hits sometimes.
Everything
that,
has yin and yang.
Yeah, of course.
Everything that has light has darkness.
Like I said, make sure you make use of your time in Dubai properly.
Correct.
If you're making use of it properly, when it's time for you to actually leave it, trust me, you're gonna leave fulfilled. You're gonna leave fulfilled if you're actually making proper use of it while you're here. When you're gonna leave, you might miss the city. But trust me, you're not going to miss the things that you were doing because you did it right. My time here is done.
Correct.
So that's actually what a lot of people.
That's very deep. What you just said.
Yeah, a lot of people mix that. Some people feel like, oh, Dubai is a fast life. If you follow this fast life,
you go fast with you. You go speed up.
So you go speed up with you. So the truth is, like I said, make sure the time you are, like, whatever I'm doing, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not planning my exit in Dubai at the moment, but. I feel like if it happens tomorrow, is it time? It's time.
Your spirit is full.
It's time. So that's what I believe. When the time comes, if I have to move,
yeah,
no baggage. Like just
we move.
I'll be like arrivederci. I'm out.
You're out.
That's it.
One of my last questions, and this might be a bit controversial, but the only reason why I'm asking you this is because we are heading into the winter months, right?
Okay.
Which is like prime visiting time for UAE.
Yeah.
And majority of my audience is actually from Kenya and Niger.
Okay.
So I want to know if I'm planning a night out with some of my girls. Like if, let's say, for example, we are like five. You can give me a ballpark figure of like how much it would be for like a table. You can give me a range if you
all
want
girls?
To. Yeah, all girls.
One of the best things I'm going to tell you, one of the things we love Dubai when it comes to girls is, you girls, when they enjoy life. Why I say when they enjoy? Why I'm saying that is, some clubs you go to, they'll be like, ladies, free entry. Ladies, this package.
I've seen actually when I'm going to the club and a guy's like, please, can we just enter together? Please?
Exactly.
Yeah, true.
Because you girls enjoy that privilege of having to get into clubs easily.
Correct.
So, but when you said you and your friends, I'll not lie to you. I'll tell you, once you tell me you're coming with your friends, I'll tell you, oh, I'll reserve a table for you girls. And how much you think you guys want to drink. I don't want to make you guys feel like, oh, you
there's
guys
a
are
number. Yeah, there's a, okay.
So and like I said, one of the things we do in Sky Lounge is we want everybody to enjoy. We don't want to have
regardless of where you're coming
exactly,
from.
Exactly. We don't want you to feel like, oh no, I don't have enough money, I cannot go there. No. We want you to come with your 100 dirhams, come with your 200 dirhams. There is a table by the bar you're gonna sit. There is a table for booking that goes for 2,000-3,000 dirhams per for groups and all of that. But we don't want you to be left out.
Correct. And to be honest, I've experienced everything and it doesn't feel like when I'm standing by the bar versus when I have a table.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean the service changes.
It doesn't change it. Yeah, so it's even standard. like your question goes, trust me, what I'm going to say to you girls is like, how heavy is your pocket?
Hey!
You want to spend money?
We know we small babes, so we are big girls.
Yeah, that means I'll put my table for 10,000 dirhams all of that.
No problem, no shaking. A small money be that. Last one, which is like one number that you saw on a bill one time and you were like, shoo?
Let me close my eyes. My village people don't come for this part. I won't go hear my money.
Our village people don't come. Oh. Have you seen how hard it is to maintain? You know another part that people don't talk about? This one that you've said staff are very important. We did not mention that staff, there's insurance.
Of course.
Visa.
Of course.
There's accommodation.
Of course.
People will only see the end part. It's Niger where you can go and pick someone for the day and say, oh yeah, okay.
Start.
And say, oh
no,
yeah, start.
No.
There's a process.
There's a process. Trust me. Trust me. Tell me if I seen the check. First of all, maybe we'll talk about this in the next podcast. I'll tell my partner, PJ, should I tell them how much the highest we've seen on the on the check? No need for that. But I'll just say we've seen good money. We've had months we don't see money. But there are days we've seen money and we're like,
shoo.
Oh boy.
Ichoko. Restrict the airflow.
I cannot actually really give a figure because
no problem.
I don't want to.
Village people are very active. Oh.
No, even funny enough, if I give you a figure, it's just if I don't arrive. No, I never arrive.
We are on the way.
I'm on the way because there's a target that I have that I'm looking forward to. So I'm not there yet. So
awesome.
But just that we've seen you see good money and there are days you see no money at all. So
correct.
So that's how it goes. So but trust me, It is a fun, stressful, interesting business.
It's a beautiful mess.
That's the perfect word you used right there. A beautiful mess.
Amazing. So any parting shots, Marcus? Like any parting shots for maybe there's that one guy who's just sitting there waiting for them to open border for him to come and explore and, you know, start his Dubai dream. What would be your parting shot for that person?
First of all, I would tell you your dreams are actually valid in Dubai. Very, very valid. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you with my own self, but I use myself as an example to you. It's like, just keep your head up in Dubai. Don't get carried away by the fast life in Dubai. Know your onion so you can cut it properly when they tell you. And be able, just be able to enjoy yourself. There's this saying I was telling to Yvette the other day. I was like, see, as much as you're making money, they say find time to feed the body that works the money. Because if you don't do that, your next of kin will help you and chop that money. Trust me. So you better find time. But even as you're coming to Dubai, trust me, there'll be ups and downs. But most importantly, make sure you enjoy what you're doing. Enjoy yourself. Take yourself out. Treat yourself. But just hang in there. It might not happen overnight, but just hang in there. The dreams are very valid. Dubai can make you like this.
But I normally tell people, trust the process. Don't rush the process.
Don't rush the process. But very, very true. Just trust the process. As long as you're able to, I've seen people, I have friends that I've seen that have moved from T-boys to CEOs. They're here in this city.
I interviewed last week Eric Akoa. Omo cleaner. He came to this country and he could not even speak English.
You can imagine.
Now he's the top paid African male model.
Your dreams actually take you there. You just need to be disciplined, consistent, knowing what you're doing, have the right set of friends.
Create
balance. Dubai is one place where some people talk about Dubai that there are no friends. I say no, they are friends because they're friends for everything.
They're friends for faking, they're friends for lying, they're friends for bawling, they're friends for crying. At the end of the day, the most important part is that you have to know yourself.
You need to know. You don't just lose yourself in Dubai. Just know the people. Know the friends you give this, the friends you give that, the friends you put here, put there. Trust me, by the time you're able to draw all of this out, Dubai is going to be a success for you.
I agree. I normally say one thing. Dubai is not about how you invest your money. It's how you invest the power that is in you. If you want to invest it in wayward things and all that fake braggadocious life, no worries. It will propel you. But if you want to invest it in legacy, journey, success, strive, a story, it will give you that as well.
Yeah.
And I guess that's it for us today. Marcus, you're definitely going to be a repeat offender.
No problem.
I am looking forward to having you for part two.
Of course. See, trust me, I'm already, you know, the thing is, if me and you continue here, so our podcast will not end. So trust me, let's just save some of our G's for the next time I'm here with you. Trust me, I really enjoy myself and I've been looking forward to sitting with you actually, despite the fact that we talk all the time, I've actually wanted to have this time to be able to share a little bit of my story. This is just a bit of it. So whenever the need arises for me to show up again, to tell you more beautiful stories that are going to happen in time to come, I'll always be available to share because, trust me,
life is an ongoing journey.
Never stop. Never end. Never.
Exactly. So if somebody wants to find you online, do you want to share with us your social pages, anything? Plug Sky Lounge, I beg.
See your Sky Lounge every Friday. Handles, you see Mark of DXB. Like, that's just it. Mark of DXB. You'll find me on Instagram. My mobile number is right there. All I do, Marco Cars, Vibes 9, all of that, you're going to find on my page, Marco Events. Everything is right there. So, but trust me, you don't want to miss out on what I offer. You don't want to miss out on it.
And that's on purpose.
Whenever you get into Dubai, you're not in Dubai right now. Whenever you step into Dubai, never hesitate. Like, don't think twice. Just think of Mark of DXB, M-A-R-C _off_DXB. Trust me, I'm there for you any day, anytime.
Period. My name is Yvette Kikuyu. This has been a very exciting episode of Dubai Diasteries. Until I come your way next time, stay true, stay you. Bye.